American cradle of liberty.
Look at you! You're a freak!
What are we alive for except to grab all the kicks we can? To contaminate our society.
Now being renovated.
Uncle Nick.
Podcasting live from the recent past in the Dogwater Studios, high above the spooky streets of Reno, the haunted mansions of
Carson,
Washoe, and Carson. Thank you for the help, Rick. It's the Worst Little Podcast, and I'm your host, Nick Ramirez. Joining me today is Doc Gruesome.
Yeah. On the Worst Little Podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
What's good, everybody? Thank y'all for having me.
Man.
And Cadillac Hymns here. Dogwater Dicks here.
Woo.
Doc, the other Doc G, our intern, is here. We named him that, though.
Yeah. It's because his unknown first name begins with a G.
Oh.
It's not like we're copying our guest.
Well, it could be like
I didn't think he was the tip of the hat
to Doc G, the real, or, you know, the rockin' Doc G.
We can respect it.
Cool.
You know, I didn't think he knew anything about me, so it's totally fine.
Oh, speaking of, we were also supposed to have Holly and Ryan from Dark Corner Haunt, which would have been so fun, but they couldn't make it tonight. So later in the show, I will talk about their latest haunted house. But you were talking about haunted mansions. I was like, or a haunted prison.
Because
where they're doing it, is the old prison. And Carson and I was going to tell Holly next year they should do the Ormsby house.
Oh, that
would be so fucking cool.
Like, or even like Mackie Mansion would be cool.
Oh, my God.
Cool. Yeah.
I went to Mackie Mansion. I wanted to take a bunch of cool pictures of the mansion when I was there, and I was on the tour, and it was during last Halloween, and they had a bunch of dumb spider webs and shit everywhere.
That was it?
It ruined all of my pictures.
Yeah.
So
I would hate that. They do kind of decorate sometime. The owner's super nice. Her name's Dawn. I've shot there a few times, like, just for, like, podcasts and, like, music videos and stuff. The owner's super nice. If you guys ever wanted to, I'm sure if you just hit her up, she would work it out. She's a super cool person. I could probably put you guys in contact with her.
I think it's cool that they decorated for Halloween. I just wanted pictures of the house, and I didn't realize it would be decorated.
Oh. And it's spookier by itself, you know?
Yeah, it's already spooky, right?
So. No, but it's cool. One time I went there because I was, like, super into all the ghost stuff, you know? And I went there with a bunch of people to film, and they were like not as into it as I was. So like the owner Dawn, she realized, and she just started like pulling me aside and telling me stuff.
Did you go up in the scary attic thing?
It was super weird because we were there doing like an all night thing. We were there until like 3 a.m. or something like
that.
And we walked over to it at one point, and it was unlocked, but it had been locked, like, the whole night, and it was super weird. And we had already seen a few things, like the tall guy in the hat that they say that everyone always sees. We definitely saw him. Me and my friend grabbed each other's hips.
Where was he at? In, like, upstairs with the rooms or downstairs?
Yeah, like, directly between those two, that hallway between the two rooms.
Oh. Dude, that's super scary.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then I came out there to film again another time, and the lady was like, we kept catching Nick on the EVPs for the past few weeks, and I had no idea why. And then she was like, and then you called me to come out here and film again, and it all made sense. And I was like, well, what does that mean? And she was like, it probably just means that they, like, feel your energy, and they're, like, excited for you to come back or whatever, and they like what you do. And I was like, that's crazy.
She was just telling you that. They tell her later, yeah, this guy, we can't wait for him to come back.
Bring him here so we can murder him. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, and audience, his real name is Nick.
Yes.
You should say that. That's
me. It was Nick Wharton.
What the fuck we're talking about.
And also known as Doc Gruesome.
Yes, yes, sir.
Fucking rocking it out of the park.
Trying to.
When you get out. And you also do like horror masks and what other merch and stuff. Tell us about that.
I sell everything. If you go on my store, CerberusClick.com, we got a little bit of everything.
Did you make your jacket here?
This one was made by Cake Fight LA. She's super sick. I'm at the point now to where like I've had a bunch of people hit me up and just be like, dude, I have to make you clothes. I usually do make most of my own clothes,
but
like this beanie I made and these pants and stuff.
So cool.
But yeah, I've recently had a lot more people reaching out to me like, I need to make you some shit. So I've been just like taking whatever, you know. But yeah, this one's Cake Fight LA. She's super sick. Check her out. But yeah, if you go on my store, CerberusClick.com, we have everything. I have like distressed hand-patched stuff. We have shirts, sweaters, beanies, ski masks, my masks, like replicas of my masks, all types of crazy stuff. So
fucking dope. And you got, you are, your masks are freaking scary, dude.
Oh yeah.
Do they ship in time for Halloween?
Yeah, I have the ones we have right now are on hand. That usually never happens. Usually, when I do runs of my mask, they're sold out like instantaneously, you know, like as soon as I put them up and then they go into production and I send them out. But this time I purposefully got a couple extra so I could have some for like the merch booth and stuff. So the few I have, yeah, they'll be out that few days after probably.
All right, listeners, go get yourself a Halloween costume.
That's the way to right do it now, though, is to get a Doc Gruesome mask at a Doc Gruesome show, right?
Yes.
When's the next show?
I just had one Saturday at the Cypress. I had two in a row the last two weekends. The next one's probably a few months out, and I haven't announced it yet. But, yeah, we got a lot more coming up. Yeah, Reno, cool, for sure. And then I have some other stuff that I'm working on out of state also. Probably another tour here soon.
Very good.
Yeah.
And where can people look to see when you do decide when it's where, when and where it's going to be?
Just follow me on all my socials, Doc Gruesome everywhere. You'll see all my shit. I constantly post updates and let people know where I'm at, where I'm going to be, what's going on. So, yeah, just keep up with anything on there.
Yes. Sweet. Let's hear some of that music, man.
You could play Scarred first.
Okay.
This is unreleased. This is off my new EP that I'm about to release on Devil's Night this sweet month, called this one's called Scarred. It's featuring Nico.
Do not attempt these bone-crunching, skin-splitting stunts under any circumstances. They can cause serious injury or leave you permanently scarred.
Yay, 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 fun. Yay, 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 yeah. Yay, 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 what? Yay, yay, yeah. V-R-O-L-E-N-C-E. Bitch, I'm N-Y-C. Catch murder, so easy. No peace in the streets, they call Boho Heat. I said bullets into me, these hoes go bone deep, yeah. What's up? I've been on it for a minute. Show these doors a buck up, get hoes cut up. You're a runner, and I'm the motherfucking big bad wolf. Like bullets sick, I'ma shit back you a toxic bull for life. You brought a knife to a sword fight. You cause light, and I'm moonshine. Going 75 on a dark night. Bitch, bless hold tight. Or your whole life gonna look like the inside of closed eyes. Dead, red, get wet, don't be fucking bled. I do it again, just decided to cut off your head. Let it roll away. Yo, bitch, give me brain today. And after I blew yours away, pussy, tell your fam to break guns. Hollow point to a motherfucking name. Pop shit, you can die by recite. Out west, bitch, you can get wet up. And you press up, and you can't get your breath up. Fuck, lay him in the ground, bitch, I make it look easy. Dancing with my face, sibling like I'm Weezy. Fuck her in the face, then I leave in the breeze. With the keys on my sleeve, bitch, believe me. Fucked up, 1,000-yard stare, boy, don't look right. Fucked up, underneath my hoodie, it's a bug knife. Run up, I don't give a fuck, bitch, it's on sight. I don't really miss pussy, better hope you look right. Head to your head, you fat motherfuckers dead. Put you in a shed, never seen it dead. Power to a blade, chop your body to pieces. I'm living in flames while you praying to Jesus. My jaw, I see red, bitch, it's like the sixth sense. I see dead. Put me in a hospital, I need meds. Gotta keep it myself, I set flames to the rest, motherfucker. Hey, 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 yo, hey, 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 hey.
Yeah, dude. Love it.
Yeah.
And I missed this. You did this last year on the podcast, and I missed it. Was it, I wasn't
you
here.
You might have been there.
Yeah, yeah, I think maybe damn, you weren't there, actually, now that I think about it.
I don't know where I was, but I was in the wrong place. Should have been here.
Yeah, we were doing cool shit. But yeah. That's off my new EP, Panic Room, and that's coming out October 30th.
Sweet.
Ooh, yeah. Just coming up.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Y'all got the first little sneak peek.
Nice.
All right. I just found you on all your socials and followed you.
Good.
So yay. Good.
That's what I kind of like about my shit is like I kind of fit in everywhere. Like I literally just did an EDM show on Saturday.
Nice.
Yeah. Was that at Cypress?
Yeah.
See that.
Totally. It was like all EDM people and then me. I do shows where it's like full of metal bands and I'm the only person like me on it.
I see that too.
I do shows that are all hip hop that are just me on it. I kind of fit in everywhere. It works out good.
Yeah. You wouldn't be bad at a punk show. You wouldn't be bad. I mean, really.
Yeah. Especially with my album I just released, Script Keeper, that thing's like half punk, like new metal. So yeah, it's kind of all over the place.
Do you have like a backing band? Do you just play over tracks? Do you write your own music too?
Yeah, I write all my own stuff. I work with producers who produce all my own stuff. I haven't been able to find anyone that's serious enough to have like a full backing band yet. I want one, but I mean like I've spent so much time on my live show that I need people who are going to like be able to tour with me and travel with me and take it seriously and, you know, be there when that's I need them to be there. And that's...
Yeah.
I want to add to my show, not, you know what I mean? Not take a step back, really. That's what it boils down to. So well, just
most people have stupid lives.
Yeah.
Like get in the way of stuff. Like,
or if they're actually talented, they're already in like 10 bands.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
Honic.
Yeah.
I'm only in 4.
Okay. He's
not that talented.
Are you counting your solo career?
He's at a dip right now. He'll go back up, you know?
Oh, well, if you count that, Rick, 5.
Thank you.
Well, that's scary.
But that's how it is.
Somebody told me long ago at the Zephyr, he looked me in the eye and he's all, you're a lifer, huh? And I'm all thinking, wait, you think I'm a criminal or something? He's like, no, man. You're a lifer. Like this fucking music and shit. You're right, dude.
It's like, I think so, dude.
You're right.
No, because most people, Nick, like, you know, they grow out of it and then they just like, well, now I just mow my lawn and take care of my kids and have my office job.
Mm-hmm.
Quitters.
And, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I just altered it so that it's drums and it is like, it's so fucking fulfilling. And then the only way to keep playing so many days of the week is to be in that many bands. So.
I think you play every day of the week, don't you?
You must.
You have to.
I can when everything's rolling.
Yeah.
But like some bands don't do it every week, right?
Sometimes
take breaks.
Things get canceled. You know, people get sick.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Well, that's just a testament to you being like a good musician. Like I said, if anyone's actually worth anything out here, they're in a bunch of bands. So that's just the thing. The people who, like Maisie, she plays guitar and makes a lot of my like metal and rock shit, and she's from L.A. So if I could go out to L.A., I'd probably have a full band out there, but just kind of depends. I don't know. We got to figure out what I'm going to do with all that. It doesn't seem like Reno's serious for that, you know?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this guy. And maybe Cadillac Kim can fill me in on anything. Are you friends with Red Leather? From Reno?
I'm not friends with him, but I've heard of him for sure. His shit's dope.
Yeah, I've heard of him. I've never, well, obviously nobody's met him.
Yeah.
Only people have met him. But like, you know what I mean?
Feels like the move to LA was a good move for that guy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Hands down. Yeah.
And he's helped put Reno on the map some more.
Yeah.
You know?
No, he puts Reno on a lot of his stuff.
In this day and age, and that's fucking rad.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's really what it is. Like, Reno's kind of a tough market for... getting out there as far as music and
you
stuff.
You gotta get in the van, man.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You're never good. Like, I blew up everywhere else before I started, like, being able to, like, do good shows and sell out shows and, like, have a good audience here in Reno, you know?
A prophet is never recognized in his hometown.
Right.
Why do you think that is? I have my theories.
It's in the Bible, so that's why.
I personally think it's because, I don't know, it's just, like, it's such a small town. Like, I grew up around a lot of people. I don't know. No one's going to take you serious when they see your climb, I feel like. Like, when they just see you, like, oh, my God, this guy's sick, and they just find you, and they have no idea who you are. It just, like, kind of plays to that facade. So I think that has something to do with it. I also think it's, like, you're just seen as, like, a local rapper. Nobody takes that seriously. You know what I mean? So I think that's a big thing to do with it also.
Yeah, I can kind of I kind of get that. Reno really is a small. I mean, as much as we've grown over the last, like, I don't know, decade or so.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And as been just like overnight. I feel like I snap of a finger and like we doubled our population.
Yeah, no, 110%.
We doubled a really diverse population. So people probably don't even know, about you.
Right.
That you're from Reno even. So I don't know. I think you have an opportunity now to reach like a new audience.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I go to shows, I meet people who are fresh to Reno.
Yeah. Well, honestly, like I tour and when I tour, it's crazy. Like it's a whole different vibe. Like I said, in my hometown, it's like there's so many people that show up to my shows that I know and or I have acquaintances with or I've known at some point in my life. Like it really is the biggest little city in the world. Like people don't understand. Mm-hmm. It seems really big, but it's just such a small town vibe for some reason.
Like, I know.
I can't go places without seeing people. Hey, what's up, dude? Like,
I had to stop going to Save Mart as my grocery store.
Yeah.
Just because I'm so...
Do you want to run into people?
I don't. I'm like, I've worked all day. I'm sweaty. I'm gross. I really don't want to run into anybody.
Yeah, right.
10-minute talk at the...
I know. Fucking... I'm going to go to the Raley's across town and hopefully I don't see anybody.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. And that's really how it is. So it's just kind of like when I don't know, it's not as serious as like when I go to a place I've never really even been at in my life and there's people coming up to me with my shit tattooed on their neck or face or.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What are some spots you hit? Like,
I've been to a lot of places to perform. On this last run, we did a Midwest tour. So I was it was Kentucky, Ohio, Oklahoma. In a few places around there. I can't remember the rest, but that was a good little tour.
Were there like some standout moments that you'll never forget?
What was the best crowd? What was your favorite stop?
We performed at this one place. It was called the Thompson House, and it was in Kentucky, I believe. It was either Kentucky or Oklahoma, but it was super sick. So it was called the Thompson House because it was the guy who invented the Tommy Gunn's family household. Whoa. So it was like a super old mansion. Mm-hmm. And it was like an old haunted mansion that had been converted into a venue. So it was like a historical like landmark that had been converted into a venue. So we pulled up and I was the headlining artist, so the people who were there running it and all that shit, they kind of just like – gave me and my friends like free reign. They were just like, yeah, do whatever you want.
Go find some ghosts.
Yeah, so me and all my friends, we were all upstairs like ghost hunting and checking out all the creepy rooms and going in and out. Like it was super sick.
Rad.
Yeah, it was a cool venue also. That was a cool show for sure. That was probably one of my favorite ones.
Did it just happen to be that? Like, did you know anything about this venue beforehand?
No, I had no idea.
You just stumbled into a haunted mansion. That's so cool.
That's the thing that's kind of cool about tour is like, you just kind of get booked and you work with a promoter. And then if they don't say anything, it's like you'll pull up to crazy stuff sometimes. I pulled up to venues that have like sushi bars attached and they're bringing us like sushi boats and stuff. Like,
shit.
I was like, yo, this is all right. Hell
nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you perform after eating sushi though?
I always wait until after.
Okay. I was gonna say.
Yeah. I always wait until after, but, or I try to at least. Sometimes I can eat. Before I perform, I just need to, like, I just don't overeat.
Yeah.
I don't
overeat.
It's hard
with sushi. I think Reno's sushi eating culture is, like,
kill yourself.
Yeah.
Kill yourself.
All you can eat.
Don't eat till you're full. Eat just till, like, you hate yourself.
That's one of my favorite things when I bring people in from out of town is taking them to all-you-can-eat sushi.
I know. It blows their minds.
Yeah. Literally. They're not prepared for it ever.
Dude, I feel my esophagus, too. I just keep going and keep going. It's so bad.
Yeah,
I keep calculating how much savings I'm getting by eating it all.
Yeah. How much I'm eating,
for
the
all you can eat.
Now it's crazy. My favorite place, me and my lady just went there recently, and it was like $90.
Holy shit.
For both of us to eat.
Well, two people sushi and a couple drinks, it's easily $100.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But I mean, all you can eat sushi is not
everything's
bad.
More expensive now. Like, so expensive.
Oh, everything's so expensive.
Not true, the electronics are cheaper. Like, for the price of sushi, I can get a 50-inch screen TV for my room. Like,
I don't know, man. During COVID, I got a, like, 78-inch TV for, like, fucking $400.
Jeez, can you believe, like, if I would have, I mean, we got to remember, like, there is some stuff that's a little bit better. Like,
TVs.
And microphones and all that. Every electronic thing gets better and cheaper every year.
Not that's food true. If you want
not
to
food.
Survive, though.
Food is $1 million. If I could have told myself when I was 14, you can buy a TV the size of your wall for the price of going to the grocery store one time.
Right. Yeah.
It's kind of crazy how that flipped. Like, PlayStations used to be like $300-400 like back in the 90s.
Yeah, and you could go to the store for $80 and eat for 2 weeks. Yeah, not anymore.
That's true. They still cost about the same as they did like in the 90s or whatever, right? Or the 2000s.
Nah, the new PlayStations are like $500 to $600. $700.
I bought my boyfriend the new Xbox a couple Christmases ago whenever it first came out, and I think it was like $500. But still, like with inflation and all things considered,
that's not too bad.
It's not that. It should be way more.
It's not too bad. All the thing is, though, is like all of those consoles, they make their money on the back end. I think that's why they don't fall to inflation so much. Like, and they're talking about doing crazy stuff now. Like, they're talking about like charging you per the hour while you play.
What the fuck?
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto. Like, Rockstar was introducing the idea of like, they were saying it's unfair that you can buy – I don't think this will ever will happen, but they were basically saying, like, we don't think it's fair that you can buy our game for a one-time fee and have, like, endless hours of fun.
What?
So they were saying,
that's
like,
why
you
do downloadable content and, like, make new games and shit. What the fuck?
That's what happened with movies and music. Yeah. Instead of I buy it one time on my record and play it till the needle burns it in a hole in it, like, I have to pay for it every time.
Yeah.
You know? Well, don't you still have to do a subscription to like Xbox Live or like any like
if you want to play online? Has. Yeah, for sure.
But you don't have to, right?
You don't have to. You can play games that aren't.
You can play with yourself.
Yeah.
You can play with yourself all day.
Yeah. Whenever you want.
I have an Xbox, but I'm not. I've never played with other people or hooked that up at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if they want to, I mean, that's their subscription model already. I think that's stupid, and I do not think gamers are going to go for that. So I don't think it'll catch on. Hell no.
No, I don't think it's ever going to happen. It's just dumb stuff Rockstar saying because they're snarky assholes. Yeah. But
how can we make more money? Let's milk our customers.
Exactly.
For even more pennies, I guess. I don't know.
I've been playing Skate lately, and I haven't played games in years. But yeah, tour was cool. That was fun. That venue was cool. We also broke down right at the end of it on my way to the airport to go home. And we were 2 hours from the airport, and it was like 102 degrees outside with like 98% humidity.
And where were you
some
at?
Some crazy
shit. Gross.
We were right by Indiana.
Shit.
And it was terrible. Like, I had already performed the night before and was like super dehydrated. And like, you know, I'm in my mask and it was like super muggy and hot. I was dying. So I get through the performance and we get home. It's like 3-4 in the morning. You know, I pass out. I'm not worried about like drinking or eating or anything like that. We wake up in the morning and just get on the road because we're like, whatever, I'll get to the airport and I'll eat some food. And then that happens. And I'm just on the side of the road dying, like already dehydrated.
Like, were you in a rental or like?
No, we were in my brother Laps's car, but it just I'm pretty sure the transmission went out.
Oh shit! So nobody was coming to rescue you.
So that's quick and easy to
fix.
You
couldn't call Alamo or Hertz.
We had someone come rescue us. Thank goodness.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, the homie came from the last show we performed at and picked us up and drove us like 2 hours to the airport.
Damn.
It was super cool of him because we were supposed to drive all the way back to Chicago and because that's where Laps is at. And then me and my lady were supposed to spend like a few hours in Chicago and then just get on the airport at O'Hare and go home. But we were broke down for hours and then we just barely made it to that airport. I had to pay like $400 extra to switch my ticket to another airport. Ugh, it was terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was a rough end.
But, I mean, overall, the tour was successful, so.
Yeah. No, it was cool. Anytime I go out is cool. The promoter was kind of weird. That run was weird, but no, it was cool. I met a lot of cool people, did a lot of cool things, been to a lot of places I hadn't been before. So, yeah, all in all, I think it's a success.
Fuck and, yeah.
And as far as, like, rehearsals go, Do you just rehearse with yourself all the time at home?
Honestly, I just play through my stuff. I'll listen to it whenever. I record constantly, so I'm always kind of like, you know, training my vocals and stuff, like listening through stuff or just whenever I have a chance, you know. So I'm because I've been doing a lot more like screaming and like guttural and like false chord vocals and stuff like that lately, so I've just been practicing that all the time because it is not easy to learn.
So you can open for more metal bands in Reno. That'd
yeah.
be cool.
No, for sure. I've done a good amount. Like I said, it's cool for me. I do a good amount of mixed shows here in Reno, which is cool. So, Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That opens me up for a lot of the other shit. But that's really kind of like the new wave of like music that I'm in now. It's kind of like aggressive hip-hop rap shit, I guess.
Is that like the new wave revival or the new metal revival? Not new wave.
New metal, yeah.
New metal.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, for sure. It's a lot more hip-hop influence, I feel like.
I like the horror aspect of
it. Yeah, me too.
It's got like corn vibes, but it's also way up, my more insane, some of it seems, feels way more.
Well, that's
insane.
The thing. Like, I grew up with, like, you know, listening to like Korn and Slipknot and Mudvayne and literally anyone that like looked weird. So I feel like my persona, like my image that I put out is just as important as the music. Mm. You know, that's what always gravitated me towards artists.
Like the spectacle. And
if you looked crazy, I'd give your music a chance, even if it was an asshole. You know?
Are you going to open for Gwar? You should open for Gwar.
I would. Yeah. I've seen Gwar with and without Odorous. They're both super. Yeah,
they're coming to Reno soon.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Isn't it this month? I don't know.
I think it is this month. Really soon. It's super soon. It's like a few days away, I think.
I'm super honored that they would spend this month with us.
With Helmet and the Dwarves. Fuck, dude.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Damn.
Hell sick lineup.
But yeah, Gwar, like literally anyone who looked weird. I when I was super young, I went, my mom took me to go see like Alice Cooper, and my dad took me to a lot of cool shows. So I was just kind of always like gravitated towards like the spectacle of people, like artists, you know.
That's awesome.
So,
man, the dream, Rick, check this out. Like, if Murder Rock with Doc Gruesome show.
Hell yeah, I know. That's exactly what I was thinking.
That would have been sick.
Were you around for Murder Rock? Oh
yeah, Freddie wore a mask too. It was like a skin mask.
Oh, it was so good.
Skin mask, you know, and they were scary as fuck.
All the songs were about horror films and horror books and stuff.
Oh, okay. So, fuck yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of those for
sure. Stephen King album.
Who else was in that?
Every song's a Stephen King book.
You didn't play that in that one, did you?
You weren't doing that one, Nick?
No. I played with them in the Glitter Bats now.
Mm. Oh, okay,
and we would
cool.
love to play with you sometime. So
yeah,
consider,
for sure.
Consider us as an act to play with.
Yeah, so. Definitely. I got you guys. I try to put on mixed shows a lot. Like, I try to have one or two bands at like each show and try to mix it up. You know what I mean?
But, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're down for that, horror goth vibe, that's what we do. We're having, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'll just remind you, we're having a Halloween show this Halloween over at The Cellar with Hired Fun and Burning Harvest, a recent metal act that was on the podcast.
That I missed again. I think. Did I miss that one?
Yeah. Yeah, you might have been.
Damn it. I'm so hit or miss these days.
I can't remember who's here or not.
You would remember because it was Andrew from down the street.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I missed it.
Oh, see, there we go. Just like you were talking about, people in your hometown. I'm like, it's not a cool band. It's Andrew from down the street.
Exactly. You see them all the time. Like, you run into them at Save Mart. You're like, how's the music? Whatever. Like,
see what I'm saying? That's what happened.
I know.
She just proved my point.
No, you do make a good point. Yeah. It's... As much as I'm a music fan and all of my friends' bands are amazing and I support them and I go to as many shows as I can. And
You're never going to take it as serious as one of your favorite artists. You can't.
You take it serious in a different, better way. Right. In some, because like you were talking about, we saw you when you sucked, kind of like coming up the ladder.
Yeah.
And in my heart, like I'm like, I remember when they weren't as amazing as they are now.
Yeah.
And now I see that I've seen them grow.
And
right.
I
you know
I kinda have
kind that can
of
be
the
magic too.
Opposite
right.
Opposite experiences because I have so many good bands that I see in Reno and that I'm friends with who should be bigger than they are. Who should be really popular and blowing it up or whatever. I don't know if just, you know, having to stay in Reno for reasons kind of stifles that, you know. Obviously, like you said, like if you were in LA or some other bigger market, you know, obviously you'd probably like blow up a little more, but there are various reasons why people have to stay in town, family, jobs. Mm-hmm. It's expensive to move to another city. Like, you know, we all just have to kind of survive too while making art. But
I would also say, like, depending on what your art is and what your lifestyle is too, doing what's necessary, like going on the road for a long time, and whether or not that it's the thing you like, you
and,
know?
Yeah,
right.
But
people, I've seen bands come back and they're just like, I don't fucking like touring, dude. I hate it.
Or I don't like my bandmates anymore or whatever.
Or I hate LA or New York.
That's
or,
the thing. Yeah. Touring, it really kind of just depends on who you go with and who you have around you, what you got going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Plus, are you in a position to do it?
Like, a friend in a country band, and so they have to go do like state fair shows and shit to make their money. And like, they just kind of hate it.
Yeah. I can see that. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, they probably have to play covers and like,
And it's like, you probably don't get treated like a real musician at all. That would make me want to kill myself.
Well, don't do that.
I'm just saying, it would make me want to.
Public service announcement. Everybody treat him like a real musician so he doesn't do
that. Well, I don't. Yeah.
That's right.
If you ever see me performing at the state fair, though, I'm probably going to go home and kill myself anyway. So
dude, I mean, we'll you rocked the fucking state fair in Fallon, I would think that's actually a high.
That's actually
I've honestly
fun.
Performed
that'd
it. I've,
that'd
hella
be fun.
I've performed at some crazy venues for sure. I'll perform wherever, honestly. I really don't care. I'm not that snarky.
Dude, there's like, it's that big stage and on B Street and fucking Sparks, and then you could be all... And then you go on right after, like you know, Steely Dan or something. That'd be pretty cool.
Steely Dan, and then I come out?
Yes!
Would be so crazy.
Oh, my God. You would never forget that.
No, I love shit like that. Because it's funny, because, like, there's either half of the crowd that, like, really is, like, fucking with my music, or there's another half of the crowd that's just like, this is not... what I came for at all, dude.
Like, and there's just like a mass exodus from the
everybody
front.
Everybody goes to smoke.
Yeah, like a group of people are running towards the front while a group of people are running away from the front, you know?
But it's kind of funny because the ones who stay, it like forms like a, oh, we like this. So they get into it. Mm. It's fire. It's a cool moment.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's funny. Well, let's hear some more fire. Let's hear
what would you
the
play
next cut.
After Steely Dan.
the next song's Indifferent, probably. And that is also off my upcoming EP. I sent you guys two unreleased ones.
Ooh.
Nice.
But I felt like this was perfect for the Halloween vibe. This is my newer stuff I've been on. It's kind of trap stuff. And then the last one is a new metal, kind of punk-ish song from my last album. So we'll kind of switch it up with the last one.
I'm an anomaly, needle in front of me. I keep on crawling right out of my skin. Yeah, guaranteed ain't no one stopping me. Hiding, I play right from night to beginning. I ride with a 30 stick under my seat. Doing me dirty, gon' make you deceased. Rising it goes, stuck in my teeth. You like a dough, loosen it deep. Like a heat seek missile in my city when you walk in a sheet, go which one, huh? Never keep peace, throw the middle in the face of a fuckboy, make him a criminal, huh? This shit a comedy, send a holler, put him on a team. Never switching up, this is a part of me. Server is clean, but they call a beat. To the dead, lay him in dirt. I'ma keep shooting through holes in your people till they find me dead. I'm causing hurt, keep on looking through your people till they find you riddled with lead. Partially burnt, bitch, you a fan until you burn. Now you just burnt, watch where you land if you wanna turn.
I'm
Yeah.
Brad.
In the middle.
In the middle, dude. I'm neither here nor there.
Yeah, they got different days.
Yeah. Gray. The world isn't black and white, you know?
No, definitely not. I deal. That's a lot of my music, honestly. I deal with depression a lot. I feel like music is like a good way to just release a lot of like inner stuff. And I've had a lot of people hit me up and be like, dude, like just listening to your music has like saved my life and stuff. So I put a lot of that really like dark stuff in there, and it seems really dark on the surface to a lot of people. But I've had so many people be like, dude, just hearing other people like express that they feel that way is a lot. You know?
Yeah. I felt that. You felt that growing up listening to music too, right?
Totally. Like, yeah. 110%.
Yeah. A few years ago, I was working on all that LN. I've been doing a lot of LNLY stuff lately. And that's out. They're out in Winnemucca, and they're making all this rad punk rock music. But a lot of the lyrics were like about suicide, like suicide and more suicide. And after we worked on that first album, he was on the show, and I was like, hey, so should we be worried about you?
Are you good?
And I forget what he said, but it was something like, you know, kind of like, you know, oh, I sang about it. Now I'm not thinking about it anymore. You know, like kind of.
Same thing. Helps it. That's the thing. Like, I have a noose tattooed on my face, and a lot of people are like, whoa, that's crazy. And it's like, not really. Like, I kind of think of it as like a badge of like survival, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, when I was young, I've dealt with so much. Like, I could have killed myself at any point in time. Honestly, but the fact that I didn't, I don't know, kind of makes me who I am in some forms. So yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of like, it's more like a good thing. It's more like a beautiful thing. And then everyone's like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Dude, it's true though. Like I fantasized about that so much when I was younger, when I was like 14, 15, maybe more 14. And then you know what changed it for me is one of my friends did commit suicide.
Yeah.
And then when you live in the aftermath of it, it's like, shit, this is a lot more real than my little goth fantasy Harold and Maude bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, this is actually really fucking horrible for everybody.
Well, my thing is, I don't know, I don't get into my past much, but my life was kind of like very turbulent. My father died when I was 12, and my mom kind of just left when I was like 14 15. So I've been on my own since I was like 14, and I just started you know, selling things in the streets to make my money. And I just had my friend put his name on the lease, and we would just pay all the rent or whatever. But yeah, I've been through some pretty rough times really young. Like, I had to grow up really fast, so I never really had that chance to kind of, I don't know, be immature about it.
Right.
It was like, if you're going to do this, you're going to do this. You know what I mean? Right. It was never like a cry for attention thing, because there's never really anyone there to pay attention, you know?
Fair.
So yeah, I kind of just had to swim through that shit.
How old are you now?
I'm 29 now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, you spent half your life as an adult now.
Yeah.
Which is a lot for a 30-year-old. You know, you're not even quite 30.
Right.
You escaped the noose, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I got it. It's kind of more like a thing I survived, you know?
Yes.
Because, life was wild for a while.
When did you start making music?
I've been making music since I was like 10 or 12, like sitting down and recording things and finding beats and writing to things. I've probably been seriously making music since I was like 15, 16. That's when I first got my first group, and we started like doing shows and getting out there. But I was in like a 7-person group, and it was like super bad for everyone, you know, like nobody could figure out what they wanted to do. It was all different styles. It was all people learning music around the same time. So it was just a million different ideas.
Were they all MCs or?
Yeah. Nothing could get out. Nothing could be figured out. Nothing. Like, we did music for 6-7 years, I think. And like, we put out like an EP and a mixtape.
Dude, I've heard that's why anarchy never takes off, is because that's how anarchy is. Anarchist people do things.
It's a terrible situation to be in. But I honestly kind of accredit it for me getting to where I'm at in some shape or form, because what I felt like was holding me back a lot ended up being me being able to kind of hone how I make music. So then when I split off and kind of started doing my own thing, a lot of people were like, dude, your music's so good. And like, how are you not famous yet? Like, how did you, like, where'd you come from? Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, I've been making music for like 10 years before this, you know, you just don't see that, you know? So I don't know. It kind of worked out in a good, weird way for me, but, yeah, it was rough in the meantime. So yeah, I've been making music for a long time. Yeah. But well, probably seriously since about 14, 15.
Fuck, dude, we're glad to have you on the show, man. You know, yeah, like I put the call out. Nick said, I don't know, you know, he's gotta get up early and stuff, and also, you know, I didn't know if you liked being on the show last time.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And stuff. So when you were like, oh hell yeah, I was like, oh fucking thanks.
No, of course.
Because awesome. I dig your tunes so much.
Thank you. And, I appreciate that, man.
You guys can check out the tracks from the past, too.
Yeah. And I'm so bummed I missed it. And it's so funny that Holly and Ryan, that Dark Corner Haunt was on last year.
Yeah.
And they couldn't be here tonight due to a death in their family, unfortunately.
Condolences to them.
Our hearts definitely go out to them. I know Holly is just a professional through and through and would be here if she could. But with that said, definitely check out Dark Corner Haunted House in Carson City at the abandoned old prison. I am so excited to go.
I mean, that's all you got to say.
Fuck.
And they're super cool people too.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, okay, so Ryan told me today it's 152,000 square feet of
that's
haunted
insane.
House. And they just made some sort of like best haunt in the country list.
Ooh.
Like they're number 3 or something. I don't know. I got to look it up again, but yeah. Jeez. Which is like a huge deal, like only a few get picked for this like honor, and they're being taken really seriously, and they put a lot of fucking effort behind their shit.
Yeah,
like
crazy.
To lose
one of their crew too, they're like, yeah, we're not coming on your silly
but
podcast,
you know,
right.
no, it wasn't even like that. It was just you know, probably they would have come if I'd insisted, but I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
No, and
they're
super nice, super cool people.
Yeah.
I went and shot a video at their haunt after that.
Oh,
and
shit,
just
really?
Going through it, like, it was insane.
At
I can
the
only
prison
imagine
one?
How this prison one is. No, I want to at the one last year that was downtown at
what's
the bowling.
Name of the video?
Oh yeah.
Huh?
What the name?
Crash Out.
Crash Out?
Yeah, people can look that up. I shot that there at Dark Corner Haunt. I got it all credited in the bio and stuff, but I'm trying to get in there for the prison to shoot one too. That would be sick.
Yeah.
Their stage setups are insane. Like, their scene setups look crazy. It's not just like some rinky-dink bullshit haunted house. It looks like you're walking into like movie scene setups. It's crazy.
Yeah, which is why I can't go with the lights off. Like, I have to take like one of those special VIP like tours before they do the haunt, because I really don't want anybody like jumping out and scaring me.
Well, they
it's really legit.
So when we went, they kind of just like, there was one guy there because it was like way at night. They weren't open. So it was one guy there who was just kind of watching it, like security type thing. And he was just like, all right, go ahead. I'll see you guys in a few hours when you're done. So it was just like me and my friend just fucking walking through the whole haunted house by ourselves, just trying to figure out where we were and where everything went. Like, yeah, it was super funny.
Oh, no.
But
I would die.
It was cool. I love stuff like that. But it was crazy. Like, their whole scene setups are insane. I could only imagine how the prison's going to be.
Yeah, I guess they have like a haunted asylum.
Yeah.
Set up. And then they have like one room that's like a prison break.
It's fire.
And apparently it's super, super creepy.
Yeah. And that's another thing too, is they always have like a whole storyline planned out throughout the walkthrough. It's not just like, oh, here's a crazy thing. Oh, here's a crazy thing. It's like there's stuff happening. Like the one last year was like, you walk in and the old, it was called, instead of the old Park Lane Mall, it was called Dark Lane Mall.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, you'd walk in, and, like, it was all crazy, and there was, like, different scenes where there was, like, it was, like, apocalyptic, like, after – it was crazy. It was crazy. But it, like, had, like, nods to Reno, and it, like, had a storyline as you went through. It was fucking wild.
Wow. Go see them in Carson City and get your tickets, because they're selling out. They really are. Like, I tried to get tickets. Luckily, we were guest listed, all of us – podcast hosts. So if anybody wants to go, let me know. Otherwise, tickets are going real fast, so get them. There's only, what, 2 weekends before Halloween? Or this weekend, and then next weekend is Halloween.
Yeah.
And they're doing Thursday through Sunday, so they're doing 4-night runs.
Even the 2 days after Halloween? Which is also Nevada Day.
I don't know. I didn't think about
the
that.
The real Nevada Day.
I think maybe next week is, or this week is just the Thursday through Sunday, and then I don't know if they end on Halloween. I got to look that up.
Okay.
But everybody can Google that.
Go check that
Halloween's
out.
Weird around here, too, sometimes because of Nevada Day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Halloween's on a Friday this year, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think so,
and then Nevada Day's on a – so Nevada Day, I think, will be celebrated on Monday.
Yeah.
So most people – some people get like a 3-day weekend.
Right.
Not me.
Yeah, for real. I don't get that shit.
Nope.
No.
None of us.
You do, Rick. Do they close your office?
Nope.
No,
not for Halloween.
Not for
healthcare. Everything else they do. Yeah,
I know.
Well, no, like, we gotta help patients. We can't be doing that.
I know.
So, like, God, you can't be giving out candy.
Too many sick people. What's wrong with you?
Right. You're making them sicker.
What are you doing for Halloween, Doc?
I'm releasing that album, Devil's Night, the night before Halloween, so that'll be crazy. I have a lot of merch to go with it and stuff like that also, so keep an eye out for that.
Online?
Yeah, online. I'll probably have some of it on my merch booth eventually, but yeah, online, when the shit drops, it'll probably be available on my merch store. But me personally, probably not much. I'm kind of a homebody.
You gonna pass out candy?
I don't know. Like, people, like, in my neighborhood, it's like kids don't really trigger treat.
Dude.
Okay.
I've lived in my house for like 8 years. And last year was the first year we got trick or treaters.
Yeah.
And before I would go all out. I would put decorations up and I would get candy and shit. And I'd sit there and wait and like watch movies.
Yeah.
And like nobody would come by. And then last year I didn't have candy. And of course they fucking came by.
Of course, dude. And it's like, I live in a perfect community for trick-or-treating. Like, it's like a little close community of like a bunch of little cluster of houses. It's like perfect for kids to walk around and trick-or-treat. And I just, we never get them.
What about you, Rick? Do you get them here?
Like, nothing. We'll have like all candy. And it's been, I haven't been here like on Halloween for a couple of years. I'm always doing something. But the years that we were here, like when me and Penny were here, we would just be sitting here and we would get one family. And then like Evan would come by with his family, like just because they were coming to our house because they live nearby.
Yeah.
Like, and but his kids are now like all kind of grown up, so it's not even that's not even gonna happen.
Do kids not trick or treat anymore? Did I miss something?
But our neighborhood is all old people and college kids, they're all out partying.
They do the trunk or treats now.
That's lame. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Yeah. What we ended up doing is we realized, holy shit, everybody on the block has a bucket of candy and nobody's trick or treating. So we threw on quick outfits and masks and hit the whole block, and everybody's just like dumping their bowls of candy into our. They're like, nobody's coming by. You can have all of this. And we made a haul, and we met our neighbors across the street and got to talk to them. We
There's
never
like
talked
a little
to them.
High-pitched kid voice. Thank you, sir.
That's amazing. I want to do. I do want to do like a grown-up
trick or
treat.
Just so you know, trick or treating is exactly as much fun as an adult as it was when you were a kid.
And then I can actually hand out drugs and the candy if it's for adults.
And then it's sick. No, but that's probably even more fun, honestly, because then you gotta like you have the whole like I can't let them know that I'm an adult.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like a secret agent man thing.
3-4 year olds in a trench coat.
Yeah. For real. My friends just sitting on my shoulders. They're like, that's not how that works, dude. You're already grown, dog.
I just like it up here.
There should be 3 of you in there if you're children. So.
Yeah.
Under the jacket. A little sus.
Just me and 3 of my friends.
Hey, Rick. Do you have a Rocky Horror planned for October, for Halloween? Have you seen it this month? Is anybody doing a good one?
Yes, and I've been going to the, let's see, what's the, oh God, I can't believe I forgot what they're called. It's like the Red Lip Rebellion something. And,
I did see that.
I saw the very first one that they did, which was at Coffee and Comics, which was, and that was when they were just first getting started and they're building their props and they're working out how to, and their costumes and getting everything going. And that was fun. fun and cool, but it was in a comic store with the lights on.
Oh, I know. That's their downfall. Like,
so that was a little bit just that, because I mean, Rocky, the magic happens better when it's dark.
Right.
Okay, then on the a few weeks ago, I went and saw them perform. They were the shadow cast for Rocky Horror at Hera's at State Line.
Oh,
in the showroom. Yeah. And Columbia, the woman who played Columbia in the actual movie, was there and did an interview before the movie.
Wow.
So that was fucking really cool. They did a great job. And you guys, we're talking like that shadow cast. I mean, it's like, it's just like, a lot of it's just like topless with pasties. I mean, it's like they go all out there.
Nice.
And I really mean all sick. Out. And they're amazing, and they've really practiced everything, and their props are great, and their costumes are great. And the different people in it are playing different characters, so they switch it up. It's not like one person is always Frankenfurter. You know what I mean? So that's
nice.
Hella fun.
Yeah, everybody gets a chance.
Right, and they all do different things.
Wait, like they do something live along with the movie? Or?
Exactly. It's called a shadow
like,
cast.
Yeah.
And they've always done that, we would always have, for Reno, we would always have a cast come from like San Jose and be our cast because we didn't have anybody doing that. Well, now these kids that are college age are doing it. And so it's pretty cool.
Fire.
And Piper is the one who's like running everything and like getting, I mean, she's not running everything, but she's the fire behind everything that made it get going.
That's awesome.
So then I just saw them this last Friday, and they did it at the Club Underground, and that was really fucking cool. And it was the loudest Rocky I've ever been to. It was as loud as a punk show. It was like as loud as the Vampirates.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was like really loud. Like, so it was just like a party. Everybody is screaming. The whole place was rocking. It was like Rocky as a punk show. And
nice.
They played the whole movie, acted out the whole thing in front of it. And then on the 1st of November, right after Halloween, they're doing it at Cargo. So
get your
tickets, you guys. It's out there. Rocky Horror at Cargo, the 1st of November. And it's pretty incredible and pretty intense.
I really wanted to make that one thing that we were talking about happen.
But bring earplugs. You don't think you're going to need earplugs in the movie, and you do.
What was it? The Pinky Horror, whatever?
Rocky Horror Pinky Show.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a poster for that up in that
Rocky
room.
Rocky Horror Pinky Show? Is that what it was?
Yeah. Pinky Polansky played live.
It was different because there was the live band doing all the songs, and they would just show clips from the movie, like stills from the scene while the band played. And then as the movie progressed, the band... each one of them was a different character, and they would like change their clothes to match what was happening in the movie and then the regular movie in between all those parts.
Oh, that's sick.
We talked
about
it. It
was incredible.
With like some of the original members, and I was going to try to help make it happen because it's like the 50th anniversary, but kind of, you know, how these things go.
Yeah.
Mm. It just kind of falls apart. You stop talking about it, and then you run into somebody at a show and they're like, hey, I got this great idea. And then like you forget.
Yeah, I have lots of great ideas too. If I don't write them down or tell my wife, and then even with my wife, it's a 50-50 with her.
It's worse when you're drinking though, Nick. Like you're at
God, yeah. Yeah, I remember so much stuff now. It's wonderful. Like,
I know exactly how bad I was.
Yeah, it's got to be like tenfold when you're drinking.
Oh, yeah, because everything sounds like a great idea when you're, you know.
Yeah, and like a hundredfold when you're on cocaine.
You're like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, dude, then you're just like, oh, we need to do this right now. I'm getting this tattooed on my face. Like,
oh, is that how you got a tattoo on your face? No, you planned that?
It's very possible, yeah.
I'm a dick, you guys. It was Red Lip Rebellion. I'm sorry that I paused on that. I couldn't remember exactly.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like I just saw that. Like, I just saw a flyer for that.
Yeah, I think I did. I didn't know where it was happening. I didn't know it was up in state. If it's in Tahoe, I'm not going.
Yeah,
I just can't.
They're going everywhere. Right. But that one was so great.
I'm old.
And it was, but it was, was Little Nell from, I was really, the real Columbia was there. Did you know the real Columbia was British? Because in the movie, she's all, you threw him off like an old overcoat for Rocky. She sounded like some, like a Betty Boop
Jersey
kind of a,
yeah.
And no, when she was being interviewed, she was like, I'm British. You know, kind of a, yeah. It's pretty cool.
Fucking heavy switch up, dude.
Yeah.
She's all cocky.
That's a fake accent.
She sounds like we sound when we try to do British accents.
Right. Like, oh,
like when she does an English or
that's
American accent.
Oh, mate, I'm British.
Well, I'm British. And they were like, how was it? And she was like, it was cold.
It's cold, isn't
it? It's cold, isn't it? Isn't it?
Governor.
She didn't say that.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Just like that. Oh, my God, how rad. Good times, you guys.
All right. What's going on? Okay, so we have the Halloween's coming up.
Yes.
Going to see the Glitter Bats with the Burning Harvest and Hired Fun, who fucking rule.
Fucking, they just put out their album. Week. I'm so, God, I love them so much.
Great.
Yeah,
band.
They were our last podcast, weren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, all covers. That was a great
that
show.
Was a
too.
Great
so
show.
Good.
Except for the Patreon.
Yeah, really cool. Yeah,
except for the Patreon. Patreon.com/worstlittlepodcast if you want to hear their one original song they played.
Yeah,
fucking it was
version
worth it.
Of their song from their new album.
It was amazing.
And how can Pete, once again, where do they go to get all your merch and records?
CerberusClick.com.
How you spell it?
CERBERUS, like the mythical dog, guards gates of hell, CerberusClick.com, CLIQUE. But yeah, you can also search .gruesome.com. I'm pretty sure that'll take you to strictly my merch, but CerberusClick.com is for everybody that's affiliated with me, all of my merch and everything that you can find there. You can also just search .gruesome anywhere, and all of my platforms will have some type of way to take you towards my merch stores or my streaming or anything like that. So
there you go.
Oh, and Pumpkin Carving Party.
Yes.
Yes.
Is the Wednesday before Halloween. So Wednesday the 29th and 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. It is at my house, Dogwater Studios. And if you know where I live, just come. Everyone is invited.
Oh, that sounds sick.
9 million yeah. people will show
and
up
we
your
will,
house.
Yeah, and we'll have like, and we will usually have like 15 to 20 pumpkins and everybody needs to get a pumpkin.
Amen. I got
that's fire.
Yeah, I will bring a pumpkin.
At the end of the party, we take a nice picture with all the pumpkins, and it's cool. It's like, I don't know, it's
yeah,
like a pumpkin family reunion or something. Yeah.
We like line them up all on the hillside, fill them all with little candles, and then all at once, like, kill the lights. And everybody always goes, oh. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Nice.
I haven't been to one in years.
It never gets old.
It's so cool.
That sounds dope.
So yeah, so if you're not doing anything.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try and pull up.
And it's nice. It's a nice middle of the week party. It starts at fucking 6 o'clock, and we do the pumpkin lighting around 9.
That's perfect.
Everybody out the door by 9:30. Rick has a job.
Yeah. Got to go.
I'm right there with you, man.
Yeah, no, same. God. Yeah. Even doing the podcast sometimes, I'm like, shit, can we wrap this up? It's 8:30.
One of the side effects of me being on my own so young is I really got my partying days out of me.
Yeah.
Super young.
Uh-huh. You know what's so funny? It's like
that's good, man.
I was kind of the same, and I grew up in a cult, so I never partied or like did drugs. I didn't do fucking anything except for work because I was 17 and on my own. I had no choice. And then like I worked and I was an adult. And then I got in a car accident and I was off work for 4 years.
Right.
And that was really when I did my partying, which is probably not the best. But, hey, I packed a lot of partying for those 4 years.
The thing is, you guys got to get over it. Once you're on the other side of that hill, it's all good.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, now I'm 42 and old and I just want to sleep.
Yeah.
I'm over partying.
We'll do one function that hopefully is like 2 hours long
at
the most. Like, okay, if it's family, it's a little longer or a little shorter.
Yeah.
Depends on how it goes.
You gotta be judicious about how you spend your time and money and all the things. Your
and
resources.
Like I said, I'm just like a homebody. Yeah. I don't really fuck with people like that.
I know. It's like you spend all this time and money making like a nice house and then you're away from it. I like my house.
Yeah.
I like my stuff.
I like
my
house.
Dogs.
I like my lady. I like my life that I've built. I
know.
Just go home and do everything I want to do.
Exactly.
You know?
I can play a game on my phone while we watch a movie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I can work on music. My drawing pad's there. Everything's there.
Exactly.
Why would I want to go to your house? When I was a kid, it's like, dude, like I would go to all my friends' house all the time because we would like smoke weed and like party. And
but I got my own weed now.
Yeah. I'm an adult.
I need their weed.
Weed's not even fun for me anymore.
I can just go to the store and get weed.
Yeah. It's not even illegal.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even like to go to the store to get weed because then I have to talk to my friends.
Weed is just like second air to me at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it doesn't even really affect me like it used to.
I know.
I also probably smoke way too much. So
most people do. Like Nick does a lot. Not you, but like my boyfriend. It is. I'm like, how could if I smoked weed in the middle of the day, I would be asleep.
I could go through like an ounce of wax in like a week and a half.
Oh, easy,
dude. That wax and stuff is way strong.
Yeah,
it's super strong, dude.
Resins and all that, like.
That would sit me on the couch for 10 hours. Yeah. I wouldn't be.
You just gave up too quick. You just have to do it all day, every day, month in and month out.
And
then
you'll
get
fine, like
it.
Me, yeah.
Exactly.
I take 1 or 2 gram dabs before I go to work in the morning.
I can't do it. I'm a nurse. I can't go to work high. And that's what I don't understand. It's like, how can you work high?
See, but I'm not.
They're like,
high.
You don't get high, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
it's not a thing like
that.
Damn.
I fucking wake up, I feel briskly high for about 15 minutes on my drive to work. And by the time I'm there, I just feel normal.
Yeah. Well, that's weird.
It was the same way when I was drinking too much whiskey. Yeah. Like, I could do like 5 shots of whiskey and I was fine. Like, didn't even touch me.
Tolerance is a bitch.
A shot of whiskey gives me heart. I got heartburn with 2 glasses of wine the other day, and I was very upset. This is getting old, folks.
And
this
people act like it's not real. I gave myself a tolerance break for like 2 months, and I started smoking again, and gave myself, and I had a panic attack instantly.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I was like, okay, not doing that anymore.
Never stop again.
Yeah, that's never stop again. Yeah,
exactly. You live and learn.
Yeah. That's one way to, that's one lesson to learn from that, I guess.
That's when I was really like, yeah, okay, I really am not getting high off of this shit. Because when I did, I fucking scared the shit out of myself.
I hated it.
Yeah.
I don't like when it works.
Yeah, I fucking was like right down the block at my friend's house. I was like contemplating calling my lady to come pick me up. I had to like sit myself down and be like, you're fine, dog. Like, just drive. Like, you're a block away from your fucking house. Drive. You're good. And then I made it there, and I was like, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, so I have a question for the series, weed smokers here. Like, okay, so if it doesn't affect you that much, why do you still do it? If it doesn't, like, give you any feeling?
It's a way of life.
It's so expensive. For me, it's like a mood stabilizer. Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Like, I can go a while, and then life will start to irritate me a little bit, but or I could find myself just being anxious and weird, you know?
Yeah.
And just a little bit of that, and I'm good, and I'm functioning, and I go clean the house, and I fucking go to the store and do whatever fucking thing I got to do.
But if you do it all the time, does it affect you like that?
My thing for me is, like, the best way I could describe it is, like, it's like say you have allergies, all right? Mm-hmm. Say you have allergies really bad. You wake up, you take your 24-hour allergy medicine, and you go about your day, and you don't really think about it. Like, that's... how it is. Like, it's kind of it's not at the forefront of your brain. It's at the back of your brain, but it's just like normal.
But like you still find it's helpful even though you have a tolerance.
Oh, yeah. I have depression. I have a hard time eating when I don't smoke. Okay. I have terrible insomnia.
So even though you're not getting like high off of it, you're still feeling like the other effects.
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally. And even then, I still get lightly high. Like, I still get, like, I still feel good and I still feel a little mind change, but I'm not sitting there like, oh my God, fucking tunnel vision. I need to go eat food. Like,
not even like that.
No.
I'm just comparing it to like how I would feel like on alcohol. I'm like, if I drank and it didn't do anything for me and I didn't feel high, like I would, or drunk at all, like I would just never drink because what's the fucking point?
Yeah.
Then you just feel full, you get heartburn, and like you're broke. Like,
part of it's the ritual of it. Like, having that ritual with other people was always fun. Like, when I smoked weed all day, every day. But man, I don't know. And Kim, I would tell myself that oh, it doesn't slow me down. I still do all this great stuff. And I smoked weed every day of my life from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to bed for 20 straight years.
Every day. Yep.
20
Rick, your
years.
Mom's listening.
Yeah.
Right. No, she knows. She remembers. But I had really bad anxiety and I was like, oh, and it helps with my anxiety and it helps me sleep and it helps a lot. And then I finally stopped and I realized – how the fuck did I know what it helped? Because I had never not been stoned.
Right.
My entire adult life, I was high. How would I know what I was like without it? And then for the first time at 34 years old, I found out what I was like when not stoned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I gave myself
that
break
2 months.
For a little
that's
while,
brilliant.
You know?
Yeah. Very few people actually do that. Everybody's just like, I'm just going to be stoned every day until I die.
Yeah. And even then, it's like I'm at the point now to where it's like I don't smoke as much as I used to, and I try not to, you know, because it's like –
why?
Well, you can ration it very easily, you know, like that's how it is for me. Like, it's not even a big deal. It's almost like coffee.
Yeah.
You know?
So easy to get good doing too much with coffee too.
Yeah, right? I know. Some days I feel really weird off that caffeine.
Well, my thing is too, is like the only thing I really notice the difference is like, I do notice the difference in like my get up and want to do stuff. That's really the big difference I notice sometimes. Like, if I wake up and I smoke hella heavy in the morning, I'll be like, it's like already like 2 and I'm like, fuck, I should be like doing something with myself, you know? those are the days when I'll have that. That's really the only thing that I would like to change.
Yeah.
Even then, that's not too bad for me. Like, I do a lot of shit. I never have days off.
It's okay to take some time off and just like, what do they call it? Bed rotting or whatever the fuck.
I just feel like such a bum. Like, like I said, I've been playing video games lately, and it's like I play video games all day, and I'm like, I'm such a piece of trash. Like, I think it's just because I don't know. Like, I work so much. I come home and I work. I have like 3 businesses I run separately. Yeah. So it's like I never really take a day off. So when I do and I don't do anything, I'm like, oh, I could have got so much done today, dude. Like,
I'll go weeks without having a day off and work day and night, day and night, day and night for weeks. And then like it's been like 3 weeks without a day off. And then I finally get a day off. And what happens? I get anxiety.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like I'm anxious because I'm not doing something. Like my system can't just stop.
Right.
You don't even know what it is you're not doing.
Right. When I know I need a break so bad.
You
and
just
it doesn't
smoke some weed, right?
Fucking that, right.
Well, my,
that's what you need a stoner boyfriend to tell you it's okay to just be lazy today.
It's stressful for me too because I have client lists, you know, like I sell features and I do graphics and I do all types of other stuff. So it's like, I'm sitting there like, oh, like all these people, I could have got their shit back today. I could have done this. I could have done that. And then it's just like starts to get so stressful to me.
What's
like,
more stressful though? Like running yourself into the ground doing all the things or stressing yourself out that you didn't do all the things? That's where that's my dilemma.
Yeah.
You constantly think like I'm letting all these people down.
Yeah.
When they're not even thinking about it. Maybe. Yeah, maybe they are thinking that I'm letting them down. Yeah. I don't know.
Because I'll be like, oh, fuck, I could have done this today. And then the dude will hit me up and be like, hey, oh, I'm not even worried about that. I totally forgot or whatever, you know. Like, people don't seem to trip. I'm pretty, you know, good about stuff, but, yeah.
Especially if you're working, it sounds like you're working with, like, other artists a lot and stuff. Like, they get it.
Yeah, they understand. Yeah. But, yeah, no, I'm really my worst critic. That's what it is. You got to be that way, though, I feel
growing
like.
Growing up young will make you do that.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep.
Facts.
Well, we think you're great, man.
We do think you're great.
I think you guys are great. Thank you for having me back. I really appreciate it.
What's the last song we're going to hear?
The last song is called When I Die, Throw Me in the Trash.
All right.
Yeah, and this is off my album, Script Keeper. And it's kind of like about a lot about my past and stuff, but it's a good song. It's a new metal kind of punk rock song.
Right on. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah.
To the Lord Strice, to the Reverend Rory Dowd. And everybody else from the Worst Little Podcast. I'm Nick. We're here with Cadillac Kim, Dogwater Dick, and the two Doc G's saying life is short and we love you.
Gang.
On the Worst Little Podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
Yeah. How ironic, wrapped in a glad bag. Never felt glad in my life, only felt mad. Never grace on my face, only hatred. Beat by the ones that I loved and had to take it. Only one who was there to hold my hand was my pops. But the drugs and alcohol never stopped. Maybe that's where I picked up my habit. Way before this shit ever was a fad. It was life, it was day to day. It was ways to play, put it straight to my veins. Anything that made me numb, blacked out my pain. Like Megan's, I got blacking out the light of a night.
Less alone.
Don't be away.